Good morning, Unity of New York. How is everyone today? So I would say happy post-Thanksgiving, but I don't celebrate Thanksgiving. And I look at some of your faces and you're like, oh, what do you mean you don't celebrate Thanksgiving? See, I got to this point where Thanksgiving was a day, but Thanksgiving was a life. So I started changing. Now, for the sake of linguistic convenience, I would tell people happy Thanksgiving, but in the back of my mind, it was always happy Thanksgiving, because I always wanted to be in a state of, I'm grateful. Like, I'm grateful to be grateful. And one of the things that I'm grateful for right now is to be here. And many of you probably don't know this, but several years ago, I didn't want to be a minister. I didn't want to do this kind of thing or whatever. And I used to come to New York very often. And I used to come here every time I came to New York. And part of being here in this sacred community inspired me to go ahead and follow what Spirit was saying for me to do. So I'm grateful for you because you helped to make me possible. So thank you. Now that that is aside, it is time for your test. Yeah, okay, thank you, I like that. So let us begin with a simple question. I want you to raise your hand if you have ever heard this phrase, you are what you eat. Okay, now, post-Thanksgiving, it's funny because we're thinking, well, wait a minute, what did I just eat for Thanksgiving? And what does that mean? And I remember being a kid, and I heard this phrase, you are what you eat. And then I saw Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And there's this scene where the little girl eats the thing, and she turns into the big blueberry. And it made me start thinking about ingestion. We ingest, right? That's how we eat. And we are consumers. We consume. But we don't really think oftentimes that what we ingest is more than just what we eat. We ingest through our eyes, we ingest through our ears, we ingest through our heart vibration. We are always ingesting stuff. We're always taking stuff in. Question is, are we digesting it? Because just because you take it in, you know, doesn't mean that it's becoming a part of you. But once you take it in, there's this process of digestion where it becomes a part of you, but not all of it, because at some point, that which your body no longer needs or desires to keep, your body eliminates. Now, that's what we do with our food and drink. We take it in, our body does whatever our body does with it, and then at some point, it's gone. But do we do the same thing when we ingest through consciousness? Do we take the time to say, what am I taking in through all of the things that are around me? And I mean that literally. I mean, how many of you ride the subway? Pretty much everybody in the room. Have you ever thought that by sitting on the subway, every single person on that subway, in some way, shape, or form, is contributing to your vibrational field? Because a lot of us, we just get on the subway. And we go about our business, not thinking about, one, what is this person giving me, but what am I giving them? And that's an extremely important thing when we're talking about eliminating. Because if we're not being mindful of what we're taking in, how can we consciously be mindful of what we are also discarding? Now, one of the words that's used in with elimination is renunciation, right? And to renounce something is the act of. Anybody in here familiar with the word announce? To announce? Did you know that in the prior, like the etymology of announce, references a messenger, one who has a message? So clearly, when you are announcing something, you are sharing a message. So if you are announcing, sharing a message, and you denounce, then you are canceling out the message. You are like, boop, that's not important. Someone is the king and we denounce them. Someone is the, and we denounce them. We denounce you. We're just canceling it. But when we renounce, what we are saying is, I am restating what I want to announce. Nature abhors a vacuum. So if we get rid of something, it has to be replaced at some point. So if I'm shifting and moving in my consciousness to do whatever it is that I am aiming to do as a human being, I have to be mindful of what am I announcing, not just with my words, but with my very life. If I were a billboard and someone were looking at my life, what would they see? What is the advertisement? You know, we talk about purpose and vision and mission for corporations and companies, but do we as individuals, are we mindful of what our purpose and vision and mission are? You know, we have this overall, we are here to live as much Christness as possible. But we don't really think about what does that mean to envelop and be enveloped by, to be, remember I said, consume, to be consumed by the consciousness of the Christ, the consciousness of love. So that soon as you walk into a room, soon as you walk onto the subway, your very presence changes the vibration of that subway car. That your very presence going into Starbucks changes the atmosphere there. Because I've gotten to the point now, and I don't even know how this happened. It wasn't like I went to bed, you know, Monday night and woke up and was like, oh my goodness, life is different. It wasn't quite that subtle. For those, how many of you, this is your first time seeing me or hearing me? Oh, good, goobly-goo. Okay, so let me share just a smidge. 2012, I weighed 300-some pounds-ish, right? Just a little shy of 300 pounds. And it was because I had fallen off of my practice. Life happened. How many times do we say that stuff? Life happens. And it does, and it's always going to. It's always going to. Life happened, and I lost track of me. And being the comfort eater that I was, any time that life happened and life was painful, you know, life, ow, I need a donut. Like, that's what I did. And when my doctor told me, you need to eliminate a couple of things, otherwise you're not going to make it. And the very first thing I started doing was going through my consciousness, finding out what do I need to address? What in my consciousness do I need to look at and reassess? That's it. That's all I started with. Started meditating and praying. And then, within that first month, 10, 15 pounds were gone. I was still eating donuts. I was still drinking Starbucks, like the mega-sized frappuccino. Never mind. Nothing else changed other than what was in here and in here. And then I started doing the other stuff and then, you know, got back to my martial arts stuff, and whatever. Now, I mention that to say, somewhere in that process, this concept of doubt started to shift to the degree where, for those of you who follow me on Facebook, you know I have tattoos. Somewhere on my throat right here, I have a tattoo that I learned from the Kabbalah, which is one of God's names, and it's, and I'm going to pronounce it off, so forgive me, Ayun Resh Yud, absolute certainty. Not without a doubt, absolute certainty. Somewhere in there, things shifted in my mind where it was, I can't explain it, but I'm absolutely certain that love is. I can't, there's nothing I could tell you to prove to you beyond a shadow of a doubt. I mean, yeah, I could prove to you, like, there's this thing called gravity. I don't know if it may be called something else. It might be called apple pie, but I don't know. But if I drop this, it's going to fall. Boop, I can prove that. But I can't prove how magnificent you are. But I know it. Something in me has gotten to the point where I know certain things, and I know that you're not just flesh and blood and bone and stuff, that you are amazing light in human form. But for you to know this, there are some things that we have in our consciousness that we have to shift. We have to eliminate, kick it to the curb, release it. And the hard part with that is, sometimes, and this is speaking about me, for me, to me, so mind your business for a second. So listen, I know that there are times when you really love holding on to your pain. You don't know me like that. No, I'm telling you, I know, I've been watching you. Stalker? No, but what I'm saying is, every now and then, we get comfortable with the day-to-day living of life. We get comfortable with the negativity in the news. We get comfortable with the catfights in our political debates. We get comfortable with the whatever baggage that we carry because of our childhood and stuff. We get comfortable with it. To the degree that if I were to say, do you know or are you one of the people who you have a sock that's got a hole in it that's in the toe or the heel, but you don't want to let go of that sock? You've got a jacket or a sweater that is so comfortable, but I don't want to get a new one because it's not going to feel the same. It's comfortable, but it's raggedy. I know, but there's something. There's a dish in the cabinet that you haven't used since 1912, and it's still sitting there because, but I don't know. I mean, the president might visit, and I want to have this plate to serve on. Not that president, but a president may visit, and I want to serve on this. I'm going to serve them on this because it belonged to my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother. I need to keep this. It's got a picture of Bozo the Clown on it. Don't judge me. There's something in our closet that you have. It's still got the price tag on it. And you bought it 5 years ago. I'm waiting for that day, you know, because I'm gonna lose some weight and then I'm going to. Why are we waiting to live? Why are we holding on to this stuff instead of being free? Because the moment we let go of stuff and stop becoming physical hoarders, psychological hoarders, hoarders of consciousness, or hoarders of emotion, as soon as we let go of it, we get to this place where we realize, if I let go, there's a space for something new. And soon as this new space is open, because the universe is like, got the Powerball for you. It's up to 403 million. You're still doing stuff you're doing with your bank account now. Oh, I'm gonna give it to Lou. Right? So we have to be able to say, whatever this is it serving me? In the grand scheme of things, is it serving my highest and best? And if we are honest, and I mean, we've got to get to the point where we are honestly honest with ourselves. Honest to the point where it's going to step on toes. It's going to be kick in the butt. We've got to get to the point where sometimes it's going to hurt. How many of us go to the dentist? I didn't ask if you like it, but we go. And there are times where, because this thing right here, what I don't even know what this tooth is. It's a tooth, though, and it hurts. And I know that I have to go to the dentist. And that by going to the dentist is going to hurt me more so that this pain goes away. Sometimes the pain is there to serve a higher purpose. Consider it birthing pains, or you call it whatever you want to call it. The point is that everything that is happening to us, it's happening for a reason. Question is, are we availing ourselves to that? Because if I'm going through life like this, either holding on or waiting for, what can I receive? Like, I'm not going to shake somebody's hand like this. I'm not really going to hug somebody. I have seeds in there and I'm ready to plant them. Maybe tomorrow. Like we're walking around like this, waiting to defend ourselves, clenching because we are so whatever this is, because we've got pain. And being someone who was diagnosed with PTSD because of child abuse related stuff, and yeah, I've been diagnosed with a whole bunch of stuff. And part of this process that I got to was I no longer say I have PTSD. There are times that I experience it. And in those times that I experience it, I give myself permission to experience it, because what we run from chases us. There was a scary movie many, 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 many years ago that I don't remember what the movie was about, but I remember there was one line in the movie, and it said, "You cannot run from your fears. They are a part of you, and they know where you are hiding." Ooh. So we're busy, like, trying to outrun our fears, and our fears are like, "Where are you going? Who are you running from? I was running from you. Do you not know you can't outrun me?" We can't outrun the things that are a part of us. We've digested somewhere in our lives, we've digested this aspect of pain, and we've made it a part of us. And the great thing is, it doesn't have to stay that way. Because at any point, we can go into the garden of our consciousness, identify the weeds that are not serving the purpose, and uproot them, and then plant what we want to grow in the garden. At any moment, there is no such thing as too late, too old, too young, there's no such thing. Time does not exist to God. Doesn't exist. There is only now. And in this present moment, we're not breathing, we're being breathed. We're not beating our hearts. Something else is beating them for us. We are not making our liver do what our livers do. We are not making our kidneys do what our kidneys do. We are not making white blood cells go through our body and do what they... We're not making any of that happen. None of it. We didn't make these clothes, although I'm sure one, two people in here probably did. But the majority of us didn't make our clothes. We don't go out and grow our own food, though I'm sure two or three of you probably do. But most of us don't. We didn't build our cars. We didn't build the subway. Something else is doing all of this, and we let go and trust it to do that. But we're not letting go and trusting it to do this, to move us from this place of angst and whatever, despair or, yeah, well, how are you on an average day? So-so. There is nothing in you that says you deserve so-so. Nothing. But we settle for it. We settle for, I'm okay. If you could be, you don't have to answer this. Think for yourself. If you could have a level of yes every day, would you want it? And I mean, because I used to be one. I used to say, "Oh man, I'm just, oh goodness, why? Look, I don't know if there's a God, but if there is, please kill me in my sleep, because I'm so tired of everybody and everything. Hey, how's it going? I'm really good today. How are you? Yeah, I'll see you tomorrow. Oh my God." Like in front of folks. "Hey, what's up? Oh, I'm sorry. What did you? Oh, I had the mask ready. Like every day was Halloween for me." And oftentimes we get accustomed to that, but it's time to eliminate it. It's time to let go of the mask. Why hide behind the mask of complacency? Hide behind the mask of "I'm okay. Life is so-so." Hide behind the mask of, you know, every time this time of year rolls around, I always get sick. It's a mask. Hide behind the mask of, you know, once you hit the big 5-0, you do know that everything's, it's a mask. Society has given us all these things that say, when you reach this age, you can't, you shouldn't, you don't. If this happens, you can't, you shouldn't. If you live here, if you live there, if you're this kind of person or that kind of person, all of these masks that we wear, and we strip them all away and eliminate all of them, what's left? Not our name, not our address, not what's in the bank account. What's left? The magnificence that each and every one of us is as God. And I know a lot of times that's like, that's an awfully large sweater to try to put on. But yes, you are the I Am. You are light. You are love itself in human form. And I say all the time, I tell people, you do know that you're not magnificent, but you are magnificence personified. And if you are magnificence personified, then everything you do becomes magnificent. The way you shop, that's magnificent. Just look at how she picks up tomatoes. I wish I picked up tomatoes like that. And I know it's funny, but think about that. If you identified and were able to step into the golden slipper of your magnificence, then everything you do would be a gold medal. The way you parent, gold medal. The way you are a husband, a wife, a child, a brother, a sister, a lover, a minister, a musician, a whatever, gold medal. The way you walk, people would say, do you dance? No, why do you ask me that? Just something about the way you just glide across the floor. It's magnificent. And it doesn't matter how you're moving. It's going to be magnificent because that's what you are. Every time something comes out of your mouth or you give someone a look, they are going to see, sense, feel the love that you are radiating out, spilling over onto them. You know, we say things like, we drink, our cup runneth over, right? The cup runneth over. I don't want to drink from the cup anymore. I want to drink from the saucer because the cup runneth over. I want to live from the overflow of abundance, the overflow of magnificence, the overflow of beauty. Not just, I don't even have to touch the cup. The saucer is more than enough. But the only way I can do that is if I eliminate everything that is counter to it. Every thought, every idea, every situation, every person, place, thing. Nothing can change or denounce, hinder, destroy the magnificence that you are. Nothing. I don't care what mom or dad did. I don't care who's sitting in what White House where. I don't care who's in Congress. I don't care who's wherever they are. It has absolutely nothing to do with you because you are one person, and one person can and does make a difference. And we think not, but we can look through anywhere in history, Gandhi, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Rosa Parks, Viktor Frankl, Mother Teresa, on and on and on, where one person was so inspired to say, I can do this. And even if they started off with, you know, I want to build this box, and you're going to push numbers, and it's going to heat food. I want to build that. And no one believes me, but I'm going to build it just to prove it to myself. At some point, we have to get to the point where we say, I know that there is something welling up within me that is mine to do, that I have to paint this painting. If I never sell it, if no one ever sees it, I have to paint. I have to sing because there's a song in me that needs to be sung. Whether I sing in front of people or not, me and the shower and my loofah are enough. And the only way we can do that or have the courage to step out there is by anything that is counter to how beautiful you are, it needs to go. We let people insult us. We insult ourselves. We bump into stuff. Oh, you are so clumsy. Who are you talking to? Did you just call the table clumsy? No, I called me clumsy. I looked in the mirror and I called myself old, ugly, stupid, whatever. For years, this thing, this big nose, oh, this used to cause so much trouble in my childhood. Oh, let me tell you this before I get ready to get out of here. And I mean, this threw me. So, some friends of mine had this joke and said, hey, check this out. What is this? That's Ray. When Ray sneezes, his head stops, but his nose keeps. Oh, the places that sent me. And as a child, I had tetracycline damage because my mother was pregnant with me and they gave her tetracycline and it damaged my teeth. So I got called Mr. Yuck Mouth and green teeth and gray teeth and brown teeth. And for years, I smiled and laughed like this. And I got to the point where I said, you know what? I don't care. Nothing that anyone says, including me, I don't even give me the permission to hurt my feelings anymore. Because I know that I deserve better. Every single one of us in this room deserve joy, love, happiness, peace beyond measure. But we have to take it upon ourselves because no one can do it for us. No one can go into your head and say, did you know this was still in there? This was in there since you were four. Do you still want? Okay. But no one can go in our consciousness and do that for us. So we have to say, enough. And it has to be enough because not simply that I know that I am enough, because we say that, you know you're good enough. You are more than good enough. Boop, no you're not. Because the moment you say you are good enough or some concept of that, you're putting a cap on it. Because there's enough. You fill the cup and there's enough. Do you want more to eat? No, I've had enough. I've had my full. And what I'm saying is you are connected to something that has no lid. There is no glass ceiling to God. Christ cannot be put in a box. And it's what you are. It's who you are. And the moment we say, I am willing, just start there. I am willing to be greater than I could even imagine myself to be. The light grows. I am willing to love or be loved or feel love more than I thought, and it shifts. So simply by being willing, the things that no longer serve us start to fade away. That which we need to eliminate, because, last thing, none of us consciously says, I'm going to eat, I'm going to eat, I'm going to eat, and then at 4 o'clock, I'm going to go to the restroom. We eat and we eat and we eat, and something in our body says, it's time to go. And we go. Except when we're somewhere, we're on the train, and we're like, oh my goodness, I gotta go. Oh my goodness, I gotta go, I gotta go, I gotta go. Okay, I gotta get off at this stop because I gotta go now. Something tells us that it's time to let it go. That's how it works for everything. Simply allow yourself to be willing to say, I know that I know, and let everything else go. God bless you.
And as we take a breath, inhaling and exhaling, allowing the seat to support you, freeing your laps if you choose to. And with each inspiration and exhalation, allow the gratitude for breath to bubble up in your inner being. The gratitude for being right here and right now at this appointed time. Gratitude for life itself, knowing that there are no accidents, that each of us is here on purpose. Each of us has been created for a purpose. As we rest in that knowing, in our heart of hearts, deep within the foundation of our being, we know that something greater than the flesh and the blood and the sinews and the bones and the nerve tissues, all the organs, has purposed us here for such a time as this. And no matter where you are in this now moment, wherever you are in your life's journey, on your path, as you continue to put one foot in front of the other, know that each of us has been blessed to receive true word. As we reflect on the goodness, the greatness, the magnificence that we have been reminded that we are, knowing that we have been formed, that we have been imaged, made in the image and likeness of our Maker, our Creator. And holding to the truth of our first principle that God is all good, absolute good. And that as divine beings created in that image and likeness, to take in for true that each of us is good. Our essence is good. And as we reflect on this last Sunday, as we have been looking at the power of release, elimination, know that through our tools, our spiritual toolbox, how we can eliminate, let go of, release any and everything, every thought about a person, an incident, an event that takes our mind away from knowing the goodness, our hearts away from knowing the goodness that we are, that we can call upon that power of release right here and right now. Anything that impedes the outflow, the demonstration, the manifestation of the goodness that we are. We have been blessed, gifted, given that power to release it. As we move into a moment of silence, allow the grace and mercy of Spirit to bring to mind anything that you feel blocks that ability to release. Allow it to come up and hold it out in front of you and examine it and see it for what it is. Because as we see it, as we allow ourselves to look at it, or perhaps to feel that feeling or recall whatever that is, fill in your blank. The very observation of it allows it to diminish in its power. That power and presence that lives in you, that Christ essence that you are. Spirit is greater than any perceived hindrance, any perceived blockage, any perceived bump in the road. It's greater than. God is greater than. Christ as you, greater than. Period. So in the silence, let us know this. If it feels hard to know it, be willing to be willing to know it. In the silence. Take a breath. And as you inhale, feel that ability to breathe as you've never felt it before. And as you exhale and relax, know that in a moment, just a brief moment, is enough space to think anew, create anew, begin again, and claim your truth. To choose to walk forward from this point on in your truth. To be the truth walker you have been created to be as a soldier of light. Be. And as we move back into this space, as we move back into our seats, into our beings, we return different than when we entered. We are so grateful for truth. So grateful for the opportunity to know once again that at any time we can choose to release that hidden splendor that we are. And we say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. For all that is good, right, and perfect. From that indwelling Christ presence that is each of us in individualized expression, we say thank you, sweet spirit. And so it is.